This morning, I want to talk about hearing the Spirit in weakness. I have a question. How many of us have weakness? How many of us like to confront our weakness? See? Got a few guys. We're still winning. I'm still winning with a few guys. So, that is why I have to talk about this subject. Because I know, that most people are very uncomfortable with weakness. Period. You're even uncomfortable with a mistake. You almost feel like, oh, that mistake should never have happened. I have news for you. You're gonna make mistakes. The more you run from your weaknesses, the more they control, and the more you will not hear the Spirit. The more you're afraid about who you really are and you don't accept the good, bad, and ugly, your growth is stunted. You got to deal with everything. The spiritual way of dealing with life is you got to be open to God dealing with things in your life. If you're not open to dealing with weakness, you're shoving it away. But when you shove things away, you do that in many other areas. So how do you hear the Spirit in this place of weakness when you're surrounded with people who pretend to be perfect? Yeah, they pretend to be perfect. If you walk around, everybody looks like they're not having any problems. I'm a people watcher, so sometimes I'm sitting and watching and say, why are they not saying, I have a problem? If you say, can I help you? No, I got it. No, I won't. I honestly want to help, not because you're weak. Because it's just, as a human being helping another human being. There's nothing wrong since you can help me. I'm not a weak person because you can help me. I'm not a weak person because you did anything. That it's not bad to be weak anyway. It's part of being human. It's very funny. I was sharing this with brothers yesterday. That as human beings, we've exchanged our humanness and want to take on the stone mentality. The stone does not have feelings. The stone is perfect. The stone is the same yesterday. But the human feels emotions. The human processes. The human cries, the human comes back, he has joy, can be creative because he's feeling. When the human is not that, he's denying who God created them to be. So it's a difficult conversation this morning, but I ask you to pay attention. Don't run away emotionally. Stick with this conversation. There's healing that comes through when you hear that weakness is not a bad thing, but God walks through that stuff. Amen? Romans chapter 15. I moved away from putting the scriptures there, but we'll come back someday to it. So, Romans 15. I hope you have a Bible, or you can scroll with the phone, but don't go to Facebook. I want to make sure that you're not doing that. Stick with me on this. We who are strong are to bear with the failing of the weak and not please ourselves. This is Romans 15 verse 1, not pleasing ourselves. That if you think you're doing well spiritually, it's just people that are weak, that don't please yourself, don't look down on them because the world does that. If they see something weak, they feel like, I am better than you because you're weak. If you want to put on the psychological cape on that, is that the reason they feel like that is because they're very inadequate. So they feel good when they see another person struggling. But when you're in God's hands, you actually have compassion for people that are struggling. The Bible goes on to say in verse 2 that each of us should please our neighbor for their good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. If you look into the Bible, you will see a lot of people that had weakness. And someone like David, who had weakness, when confronted with Nathan, said, yes, I sinned, said he had certain issues. Even with the generals that confronted him, he had weakness about how he raised his children. And sometimes he's confronted about that, and he walked with that. So he was okay with that. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And the Bible says that you and I here should not please ourselves when we see weakness. Because when you do that, it simply says you've not worked on yourself. So you judge so much. The reason we please ourselves when we see other people's weakness is we haven't dealt with our issues. It was good to see Mike talk about that I struggle with anger in public. We can act like I don't struggle with anger. Let me be honest with you. I figured it a long time that my struggles are with your struggles. Yeah, you don't want to talk about it. That's the only difference. But because you don't want to talk about it, the devil keeps dominating your space. And you're not able to overcome those things because, and we are a church, so we have to overcome. We cannot let the devil take charge of that. When we struggle, we have to be safe as we talk about these issues. And then we come out of that and grow and become awesome. But many of us will not talk about it because that's a shaming issue. Let me tell you the story of shame. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit they're not supposed to eat, they got shamed and guilted. What do? They run away from God. When you allow shame and guilt to control, you tend to run away from God. You don't run to God. You avoid church. You avoid church people. You run away from God. You don't read the Bible. That's what you do when you're allowing weakness to take charge. And God walked in the garden and said, "Did you eat the fruit? Who told you you're naked?" And he kept going at them. So if you have a habit of hiding and running away, it's possibly that you're not understanding weakness as a tool that God could use to rebuild and make you grow spiritually, but you're actually making that take hold of you, and you're running away from God, and you cannot grow. But so today I want to say that you can hear the spirit in weakness when you stop running. So let us get to the next thing. Wait a minute. Let's get all the gigs out here. Jesus submitted to the Spirit through prayer. Matthew 26. Let's go there. Matthew 26. So you want to hear the Spirit and get the fruits of the Spirit of joy, peace, patience, kindness. Yeah, you have to hear it because you're not going to get those fruits if you're not hearing the Spirit. It does not just happen. You have to hear the Spirit. So in Matthew 26, let's read and see how Jesus dealt with it. In verses 40 to 41, the Bible says here that then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So Jesus is very clear about what's going on. He says, you know what? Watch and pray. Man, I feel that the spirit in me is willing to do God's will, but my flesh as a human being, I don't want to get involved in this pain. So I don't want to get in there, but pray so that we can stand up to this temptation. Let's talk about two things. One, if you're not hearing the Spirit, the flesh will take control. But Jesus was very clear. The Spirit is willing. The body is weak. He was clear what was God saying. So he couldn't he did not confuse and say, well, the flesh is right. I don't have to go through this. He says, no. The Spirit is willing, but the body is weak. When you're not hearing the Spirit, you will not know the difference. You will go with the flesh. It's a stronger voice at that moment. And you give in to the flesh and do what the flesh wants you to do. But he says, no, pray. The way Jesus sustained his attention to the Spirit, he prayed. He prayed. We know this story. They slept. When the temptation came and the soldiers showed up, they actually run. They did run. He got violent and was using the sword to deal with things. But Jesus was pretty calm at that moment. And I say that to say because I believe that to submit to the Spirit, you have to pray. If you're not praying, you will not submit to the Spirit by just thinking it through, by willing yourself to that. You have to pray and say, God, I know this is what you say in your word. I want to hear your Spirit. I want to see the fruits of the Spirit. But I am struggling because in my flesh, I want to go a different side. Let's face it. We all have things that we just want to do. And even though we know that is not of God, and if we don't pray about it to come to a place of submission, it'll not work. I don't know of anyone that does not have their own brain. But that is why you have to pray and let's say, God, lead me back to the Spirit. Let me be guided by your Spirit. So ask this question. How is your prayer when it comes to submitting to God? Is it possible that all you do in your prayer is ask God what you need? That is all good. There's nothing wrong about asking. But I think that a bigger part is to ask God to hear His Spirit. When is the last time you said that to God? I want to hear your Spirit. As I read the Bible, as I live my life today, I want to hear your Spirit. You know, one of the things I found is sometimes I get very busy. And sometimes the schedule is piling like crazy. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm meeting Y, I'm meeting Z. And then I say, God, you got to help me. And I pray a lot. I say, God, just help me for today to do well. When I'm really tired, someone always cancels. And I always hear the Spirit has worked it out. I just don't argue with that. I say, amen, keep going. When I'm really tired, somebody always cancels. Say, hey, I can't do it today. Can we do it another day? I say, sure, no problem. See you tomorrow, because the Spirit has moved it. Why I don't argue? Because I know this is God's working. I don't say, how can you give me time? It was my time. I set up the time, and now you can't show up. I have not that problem. The Spirit is working. And if you're running, He'll catch up with you anyway. I have no trouble with that. I say, was nice while it was set, but if we can't do it today, we'll do it tomorrow. No problem. You see, because we are so stuck on what we want to do, when God changes something, we get devastated. We don't say, no, that's okay, God. You have a better plan. You don't want to do it today? Okay, let's do it tomorrow. We get so devastated that we guilt the situation. We never want to do it again. No, it's okay. God has changed something. I've gone to meetings and say, God, help me. I don't know what I'll say today, but lead me in this conversation. And this we need to do that. I don't know how, but God will lead in that conversation. And the meeting will go well. Amen. Sometimes we let fear hold us back to not do anything that God wants us to do. God is putting open people next to you. God is putting people that you need to talk to, but you don't do it because you've shut down the Holy Spirit for too long. You have to pray. But prayer is difficult for some people. How many of us find it easier to read the Bible than to pray? Okay, maybe half and half. How many of us prefer prayer over reading the Bible? Yeah, we need both, by the way. You can't be talking to God alone. God has to talk to you through the Bible. Now, here's what I found out. It's not a preference, actually. It's understanding why. Prayer to me is a place that I get very vulnerable. It's one place I can be me. I really can be me and tell God what's in my heart. When I leave that space, I don't leave that space feeling, oh, what a wretched person. I say, thank you, God, that you can listen to me as I am. And thank you, God, that even though I'm not perfect, you love me anyway. And thank you, God, that even though I make mistakes, I may have committed sin, you still listen to me. Many of us think, because I've sinned, I cannot even pray. That is the wrong mindset. That's when you need to pray. God, Jesus died on the cross before you even accepted Him. So you should pray more when you're in that space. And many of us need to unlearn this guilt mindset of a relationship with God. I'll only pray when everything is going great. God does not need your righteousness. He needs a relationship with you. He's the one that provides that Spirit to give you joy, to give you righteousness. So if you only come to God because you're perfect, I think you're confused. You're not perfect, actually. Some people say, I don't like my Bible talk because it's not great. I don't like my church, it's not great. Sometimes you're so imperfect, the moment you walk in that Bible talk, the whole Bible talk becomes imperfect. We're all imperfect. I'm trying to convince you that the reason the Holy Spirit is not walking is because we're running away from our imperfection. We're not putting it on the cross. We're not submitting it before God. I do know that we live in a culture that makes it look terrible when you're weak, but I'm asking you to have strength in Christ to be a godly person that demystifies that stereotyping of weakness. It's not a problem at all. It's not a problem. You will only survive when you begin to pray. Vulnerably. Not saying big words, Father God, when you really what you need to say is, God, I am really tired. and I need help. When you stop acting out and say, God, I just want to be. No, just tell God what's going on and say, like David would say at the end, but I want to submit to you. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to submit to you. Help me to do that. You will leave that space wanting to do God's will. Amen? Prayer is vulnerable. Prayer is emotional. Prayer is honest. Most people are not comfortable with those things because they tend to show weakness. So they prefer to just say things in a very mundane manner. And then the prayer lacks the meaning when it's done in a mundane way. Some of us repeat the same prayer every day, 365 days. So you don't even connect to it. To me, prayer is a space of connection. But you cannot connect if you're not vulnerable with God. Jesus says to his friends, the Lord himself says, the spirit is willing, the body is weak. Then I said, you've been doing all these miracles. What are you talking about? Just do a miracle and let these guys disappear. No, he understood God's will. That's the question. Do you understand? If you're not, you may be judging a lot. That's where it's going wrong. Okay, let's keep going. The spirit intercedes for the weak, for everyone, but I want to focus for the weak. Sometimes you don't know what's wrong. Okay, let's read Romans 8, 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Are you there? You got a 10. Maybe you got a bit. Or are you scrolling? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You hear that? That he talks about it's groaning inwardly. And in verse 25, he says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Then he goes on in 26, says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. For me, it's very comforting to understand that even when I do not know what to pray about, the Spirit is interceding for me in words that I cannot tell, but I can say God is still taking care of me. So I just need to be there and understand that God is walking for me. Here's the deal. Many of us believe that if life is not what I expect it to be, then God is not on my side. How many of us have that perception of life? It's okay to lift your hand. Don't worry. We just talked about weakness. It's all right. We're still having a hard time accepting it. Okay. Some of you will not lift your hands because what will my neighbors think about me? That's fine. We think of you in a good way. So let me keep going on this subject. Somewhere deep down, you think because this life is not panning out the way I wanted it to, then God is not there for me. But the Bible says that the Spirit is interceding for you. That you might have wanted to arrive today, but God says, no, you'll arrive in 10 days. Because in the process, I'll save you from an accident. In the process, I'll save you from something that you've not seen. Does that make sense? I mean, think about it, that people are dying as we speak and God allowed you to arrive here. Think about it, that you went to bed and you still woke up. And some people went to bed and never woke up. I mean, think about it, that somehow you're going to go to a house and people in Bahamas are not going to a house. They're still sleeping outside. Think about it, how God's been walking this stuff. Think about how God is protecting you. This is not an accident. This is God at work 110%. So that is the thing that I want to bring to life. I think that somehow we think we'll live by accident. Somehow we're here because we walked ourselves here. It's like a guy who says, I built the dam, so I must take the credit. Here's what I say. The water was created by God. The soil was created by God. You only use God's stuff to put everything together. It's all God's stuff that you have right now. But if you're not awake to that idea that God is at work, you get discouraged easily. You get discouraged easily. You give up easily. You don't hear the Spirit. Your tenacity is not there. Resilience is not there. Faith is not there because you're not staying aware of God. What are you doing? You're not staying alert to that reality. When you come to that space, then you realize God is on your side. You don't get discouraged, but you say, God, show me what needs to change in my character. And in that character formation, you see God unravel himself and show you. And what a space of growth that happens in that space. But you have to accept that you're weak sometimes. Don't run away from your weakness. You have to accept that. I mean, when it comes to designing our house or paints and all that, my wife and daughters have that thing done. They ask me, I have no clue what needs to go where. I think it looks nice as it is. And they told me, Dad, I don't think you have the fashion idea. Initially, I argued. I said, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I was feeling defensive. Then I said, wait a minute. Honestly, don't really know. Now, if you want to talk cars, come talk to me. I'll tell you how that thing functions. I say, okay, well, what is it doing? I have ideas about that. I pay pretty close attention to how they function. That's a different story. The house, I have no idea. And that's okay. There are many things I don't know. I don't think I'm the smartest guy in town. But one thing I'll do is I'll fight to hear God's Spirit. We got to do that. As a church, we cannot come around pretending to be perfect. Because when we do, we stifle the work of the Holy Spirit. We judge, we put down, we don't help, we don't embrace, we don't walk with people that are struggling, we don't help them to change, we just judge them. And you may say, I said nothing, but you judge by how you look at them. When you judge, it comes through your emotion. We can tell when you judge even when you don't speak. So I ask you to begin to hear the Spirit intercede for you and bring your issues before God and bring your issues before people that really love you and begin to turn around. God is interceding for us. It's not that God cannot change our situation. It is us that keep running. We keep running to the wrong people. We keep running to hear things from everywhere, not from the Word of God, not from people that love God. We've got to do more by coming to God. Amen? What are you doing with the temple of God? Let's talk about this. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. That's in the neighborhood next door, so we don't have to take too long to get there. 1 Corinthians 3:16. This is just Paul trying to explain to them about the church and building it up. He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are the temple. The church together is the temple of God. The Spirit of God is within us. And if anyone wants to destroy that, the temple of God, God will deal with that. We have to understand that our collective worship, we are the temple of God. And the Spirit is among us. So it's important for us to be really connected to what God is doing. Amen? Church, understand this. The church is us. Amen? The church is not me. The church is not the elder. The church is not the deacon. The church is not the family group leader. The church is us. Okay, I'll say it again. The church is us. You're the church, amen? We are the church. So when you say the church is not doing something, I like to say, wait a minute, but you're the body of Christ. What are you doing about it? You're the body of Christ. We have to move away from a culture of saying what's not right to how can I improve this? That is what is happening. And there's a lot of that beginning to happen in the congregation. There's a lot of that beginning to happen. There are people taking on roles and initiating into different things. And we can do that in our family groups and other places to do that much more better and work together. Amen? Amen? If we do that well, then we're taking care of the temple of God. But if we sit in a corner somewhere and just complain, we've forgotten that we are the temple and we're destroying because the Spirit is within us. And we're short-circuiting that Spirit when we don't come together. You got to go to family group, guys. Go to family group and have fun, have a meal, and bring a friend with you when you go to family group. Amen? Amen. You got to come out to church. Come. I mean, today's class was awesome. For a moment there, I thought it went pretty quick for me. I thought, is that 10 minutes or is that 35 minutes? It was 35 minutes. I said, wait a minute. I turned back and told Perry, that was a short class for me, man. I said, that is how, if you are engaged, that's how it feels. Does that make sense? Here's the deal. Some days we'll have stuff you really like. Some days we'll have stuff you're like, golly, we're talking about something else, friend. Come along. You're the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. Some days the songs we sing will be amazing, the songs you like. Some days you'll be like, what songs are that? And all of us are saying, that's an awesome song. You're like, no, not for me. But you're the body of Christ. When you're the body of Christ, you walk together so that the body is built to glorify God. But that does not happen because you want to. You do that because you're submitting to the Spirit. You do that. If you go with, I want to, that's your back to your flesh. Then you start being controlled here and there. You got to go with, what is the Spirit saying I want to do? Amen? We can only boast in our weakness when we hear God's Spirit. 2 Corinthians 12, 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. I mean, how many of us have ever boasted in our weakness anyway? We don't want to tell anyone. Oh, man, I'm not sure anyone. I don't think they'll love me if they really know who I am. Yeah, that's a common story in our heads. If you really know who I am, you'll not love me. Or you'll stop respecting me because if I tell you who I am, you start treating me funny. And it's true that some people really treat people badly when they know their weaknesses. It's terrible. You know what? Jesus died on the cross so we can love each other. Not that we turn around and make people look like, oh man, you're nothing because I know who you are. This is not a school where people, bullies take on the weak and beat them up. It's a church of God. Amen? It's the body of Christ. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read in verse 8 through 10, Paul says something that's very interesting. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Most people read that scripture and all they do is, I wonder what that weakness was. You miss the point. Why are you so interested in figuring that weakness? You miss the point. That's not the issue. We all have our weaknesses. Why do you want to figure it out? What was that? You're projecting something. When you start going that direction, you're trying to figure out, was it like mine? Was it like mine? Was it like mine? You missed the point. The point is that he prayed and asked God, take it away from me. And God says, I'm not doing that. Because in this weakness, I will show you how you'll submit to me. Now let's be clear. Don't take sin and say, I'm just going to be in sin and God will show me to be in sin and to be strong. The Spirit allows you to repent. Amen? But you can have weakness, temptations around that sin. That's a weakness. You have a temptation around that issue a lot. But because you submitted to God, you're not doing it, but you have a temptation around it. If you understand that, that is what Paul is talking about. So he can say, I have this weakness. I have not overcome. I have this weakness. But because I am close to God, I don't touch it. It's funny how when you say, I overcome, I used to be, it happens the next week. A brother confessed some sins in a meeting I was a long time ago, and it was a minister's meeting. And another brother, who was a very young minister, chimed in. I don't understand how a minister of the gospel can be struggling with such sin. Well, I was in that meeting, and I said, I don't know what to say. I wasn't running the meeting as the conversation was going on. Long story short, 2 years down the road, he was back in the same space. Now, then I looked at the situation and I said, wait a minute. I have a scripture that talks to me. Do not gloat. You know, there's a Bible that says don't gloat when another person falls down, right? I couldn't gloat that he had been found in that space he was criticizing. I felt that God was talking to me. That be careful how you talk about other people's issues, because next time you'll be the one in the place. For me, it was a big lesson. I said, well, the Lord, you have spoken clearly. I don't have to say anything else. But Paul says, I can boast in weakness. Why? Because I prayed and God, I said, I'm not taking it away, but I will manifest my strength in you. Amen. Whatever you're struggling with, God can turn that out into a strength. And you can help a lot of people in the same shoe as you to find Jesus and heal them. The answer is not that it was taken away and we are perfect, because that's what we trust. Is that in our weakness, God will use us to help other people. Why? Because we are humble, because we are honest, because we are just saying, you know what? I am repenting, I am changing, and God is helping my marriage, my single life, my campus life, my teen life, not because I'm perfect, but because I trust that God will see me through. Here's how this works. I believe humility allows you to say, I'm no longer hiding my weakness. And because you put the light on it, it will not grow. It starts, the power it had on you starts to diminish. And you have someone that you pray with and talk to and have an accountability friendship. And that's our conversation. It just, as you see the grace of God applied to you, the Holy Spirit begins to work in you. You wake up one day and you're like, oh, this is awesome. I remember coming to church for 2 years, just being lukewarm. Just a lukewarm guy. The third year I'm doing my stuff, my father dies, and I hit depression like nobody's business. For a whole year, I like to say I was dead man walking. I didn't know why people laughed. I didn't know why some people were so excited. To me, I couldn't connect to that. I was numb. I just walked around. I put on a suit. You could never tell. I looked pretty nice, but I was depressed like nobody's business. I know because I felt it. I walked around numb. I couldn't understand why people were so happy. But I was depressed functional. I could get out of bed, go to work, go to college, get back to church, sing a song, wonder why somebody was dancing too much. That was just me because I was depressed, and be all there. Then I said, God, you got to help me to overcome this. And I said, I'll pray about this. And I started praying about it every day, and I started talking to people. Some people looked at me like, is that great? This is the 90s, you know, like you don't talk about stuff like that. What are you talking about? Are you okay? We're praying about it. But they accepted me. And I woke up one day, I was back to my living days. I was no longer numb. I was awake, alive in God. It took time, but I was devoted to prayer. I was devoted to scripture. I was devoted to fellowship. I loved God. But life was not panning out the way I wanted it to. But God was working it out. What's your story that you're putting away from God? Bring it back. Bring your weakness in. You'll be amazed how you grow. And if people judge you, show them the scripture that says, man, I want you to be there, a brother for me, not to put me down, but can we walk together on this thing? And hopefully, brothers, we can sign up to Disciples in Motion, and we can make that happen. I'm going myself eventually. I plan to. It's everybody. Everybody can go to Disciples in Motion. It's not everybody's weak at some point. You went pretty quiet. We're talking the gospel here. Everybody needs Jesus, right? Yes. It's important that we take our lives seriously. That's when it's fulfilled and God heals us. So God never took it away. Why? He was going to walk through that, bring about change. Stop running and turn yourself to Jesus. Stop running and talk to someone that will help you. If you're visiting, talk to someone that will show you the scriptures and you'll understand how this works. Does that make sense? So that's how the Spirit begins to kick in and we begin to find joy. I think on a bit long, but let's see how far we go here. I'll finish on this slide because of time. Romans 8, 5 to 11. This is our final slide. So in Romans 8, we'll get to the other slides in the future. 5 through 11, here's what it says. Romans chapter 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by this flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but are in the realm of Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subjected to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Cultivate a mind that wants to please the Spirit. Simply put, ask yourself, when tempted, when confronted, do you turn to Scripture or do you turn to emotion? Do you turn to God or do you turn to historical way of doing things? Do you turn to what are you doing now or do you turn to, I did this in the 90s? Do you say, wait a minute, God, what do you want me to do now? That level of awareness of God, you're doing something to me today, requires a constant feeding of the Word of God to your brain and a constant awareness that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's powerful. That is powerful. I don't even understand it, that the Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in us. But it will not kick in if we will not allow our mind to be focused on that. Because your mind determines where you go. So if your mind is not set on the Word, not set on the Spirit, you will not hear the fruits of the Spirit. This morning, I would have loved to speak the whole day, but I know you would be tired and not hear. It's so true. When I talk about the Spirit, for me, it's a real deal. It really can transform your life if you connect to it. Start by hearing the Word of God. God bless you.